Hello?
Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hi, this is
Yeah.
Paula from Brazil.
Oh, hi, Paul. It's Emily.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. Is David on the line yet or not?
No, not yet.
Well, hi and welcome. This is Dave. How are you guys
Not
doing?
yet.
Oh, good. We beat you to it today, huh?
Yeah, I know. I had a little trouble getting on. How's everybody doing? Bring me up to
Really
date.
good.
Bring us up to date.
Do you want to go first, Paul, or you mean to go first?
You go first.
Well, I'm working really hard on branding my name and getting all my stuff organized so I can launch my new program I'm coming out with. I'm decided to really be specific with my niche, so women in cancer recovery. And
Great.
I've spoke what?
I said great, yeah.
Yeah. So I've kind of put myself out of my comfort zone and just made some calls yesterday to a couple of women that I've in the fitness industry who they actually have created and designed their own fitness products, like a it's called Balance Body. It's the biggest they make all the machines and for the fitness industry. And they said that they would be willing to work with me so I could create my own cancer program on their equipment. And so I can get 100% of the funds for me. So we kind of link together and I would promote their site on my own site also. And so if I sell a piece of their equipment to go with my program, I'll get a commission off that. And so I'll sell their product on my line too. So it's kind of like linking two different companies together. So
That
I
sounds
have to
great. That
work.
sounds like a
Yeah.
great synergistic affiliation.
Yeah. So I have two different companies that are willing to work with me, and I have a date set up to do a film in July, and I'm starting to do little clips for my website that's going to come up because I'm creating a membership where people, women in cancer recovery, anyone really, can come on for a cheaper price because they can't afford exercise a lot after they've been through their
Yeah.
ringer, right? So maybe make it cheaper, like $7.99, something cheap where they can go on a membership and they can click a short clips, like 3 minutes every day, wake up and feel better in just 3 minutes, and they'll be simple exercises that everyone can do no matter what. So they're not going to be fancy Pilates moves or yoga moves for the real fancy people. It's going to be for the average person that wants to exercise and it feels intimidated.
That sounds really terrific. Congratulations on that.
Thank
Those
you.
are
Yeah, I'm
some
really
moves.
excited. It's a little overwhelming. I'm running myself really thin doing too much, but I guess that's part of the process, right?
What kind of agreement? Well, you are stretching, and that's great, and you have the results to show for it. What kind of agreement do you have? Is it in writing, a contract, or a letter
I'm
of
getting,
agreement?
yeah, I have a one, she's making the contract right now, this one woman, she's in LA. So I took her program, it was a fitness program while I was on cancer. And it was way too hard for me. And I'm a pretty fit person. And I told her, I said, you know, I would like to develop my own program so I can put it on my membership and exercise page so people can come on, even like a YouTube account or something, but eventually I need to get paid for it. And I said, can I use your board? Like, I love your board, and I'm going to create my own board otherwise because I'm going to, and I don't want to have to do that. It's going to take me years, right? And she's like, oh, my God, I love that idea. And she's like, yes. I said, I want your word, and I want a contract. So I'm the only person in my area and are actually around at all with your program that's going to do cancer, women, or cancer recovery. She's like, absolutely. So she said, I'll write you a contract up, and she was telling me all the stuff, like how I can link this and link
Well,
that,
and
and I'll
that's a
promote
good
her.
reminder to everyone to have a letter of agreement or a contract for any kind of affiliate arrangement. And I would say look very carefully at the contract because everything's negotiable, not just to say yes because she said it, but to really look what's in your best interest. And I think it's a great move that you're doing a contract. I think that's a good model going forward for everything that you do.
Yeah, so I am starting my started a manual, so I'm going to have the first manual for cancer recovery fitness, these exercises on her board. So I'll mark it towards her board. So she's going to send her photographer out and film me. And she's like, you get the manual and we can put our first program and I'll send you all around on my ideas and get teachers to come get certified through me. And then I'll have my own program. And I've already had women contact me, but I don't have the program yet. So I need to develop it really fast.
Well, that's exciting. Are you going to license people to this program, or have you thought about how you're going to do that?
That's what I would like to do. So I am talking with another one of my mentors who has her own program, and she's telling me how they could get CEC, like continuing education credits.
Uh-huh.
So I have to go through some little loophole to do that, but I would like that, yes.
This sounds great. Really terrific. Yeah, and I think that's a way to really extend your impact and reach and contribution as well as income is to get people who train under you, and you can really leverage your time and impact in that way.
Yeah, and I went to Mexico last week to teach the fitness. I was brought along with a friend, and I was teaching the yoga part of her fitness thing, and everyone – no one had cancer there, but they were all women. And by the end of the trip, we were planning a women's retreat. And so this is what I want to do is I want to create women's retreat and do wellness and live your new life story through health and wellness. And that's what I want to talk to you about.
That's
eventually.
Really exciting. That's great.
Using just that one section of your book and include fitness, wellness with the book. Like that's my ultimate dream.
Yeah, if I can help you, let me know. You have exciting possibilities there.
Excellent.
And we're going to be talking about wellness today, about your wellness story.
Oh, great.
Paolo, what's going on?
Hi. Well, as I spoke to you before, I'm working on the workshop I'm planning to do by the end of this month.
Uh-huh.
And I want to do this on wellness, and that's why I was expecting for this seminar today, so that I know that you're going to speak about it. And I would also would like to have this 28-week protocol that I never got a copy of that.
It's on the landing page where the page that you go to do the playback. There are three different things to download there, and that's one of them. Let me know if you can't find it, but they're all on that page. The outline, the syllabus, and the 28-week protocol.
I got...
The playback.
The playback.
The same page you go to do the playback for each of the 12 seminars has the three different downloads. You just click on it, and you can download it and print it.
Okay, I'll try again because I tried that and I couldn't get it so far.
You didn't see it, or you couldn't get it to download?
I couldn't see it.
Okay. Let me know if you have a problem with it, and I'll be happy to help you.
Okay.
Okay. So you're set to you're putting together your workshop?
Yeah, I'm putting together the workshop. I'm working, studying more about the roadmap, which I think it's an amazing tool to work with, you know. And it's going to be a partnership with a psychologist, who's a very good friend of mine, and she works with a familiar constellation. Have you ever heard of it? From
Bert
Hellinger. From Beth Hellinger. This therapy works with the past.
Uh-huh.
Aligning the family tree, you know. And then after she finishes with that, then I'll come, I'm going to work with the present and future.
Sounds like a nice
with the group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's going to work fine.
Excellent.
That's my choice of security. Yeah, I'll let you know.
And if I can help you with that, let me know. That sounds like a great application.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a letter of agreement or an understanding in writing with your co-presenter?
With my co-presenter?
With the psychologist.
Oh, yeah. No, not really, because...
I think you need one. I think it's good just to have written the letter of understanding about what you do for expenses, you know, what you do with the money you make for people who want to sign on as individual clients or patients of hers. How do you divide it? Leave nothing to chance. It's all much easier to discuss while it's a theory. So I just suggest a letter of agreement about an understanding of how everything is handled before it happens.
Okay. Yes, I'll do that. I think I have an example of this in the book itself. You have some forms here to fill out that you proposed.
An example of what?
Of agreement with the coaches, and also have some. I was reading this and like to sign with my client. I'm going to do something similar with my partner.
The only thing that I have in the curriculum is the client information packet where the client fills out, it's the first document in the additional resources. It's the client information packet and the contract with the client. The contract is part of that for the client to sign, but that's not what I'm talking about as a letter of agreement, something that just spells out what each of you do, how you handle various things from all aspects of what you will be doing, and looking to the future of how you handle people who come to you, either of you in the future. Just agreement.
We're going to have a meeting about this. We're going to get together about this and write this agreement.
Great. And I'm just suggesting write it down. Even if it's just to send an email to say, this is my understanding, and then to the bullet or number, just to get an understanding. Well, super.
Okay.
That sounds great. Let me check. Is Robin with us? Okay. I want to spend just a few minutes talking about some things that I'll be sending you and giving you an idea of, you know, from this point on, since this is our last seminar. But any questions or things that would be helpful for us to discuss at this point from either of you, or any challenges that any of you have?
I'd like to talk more about how we do a group, since I'm interested in doing a group thing, how we start a group coaching.
I'm interested in that too.
Okay. The best resource that I know, and the one that I used when I started my first coaching group, go to my website, Mental Path, and on the home page, at the about two-thirds of the way down on the right, is a link called Referral Resources. It's just a little bar that says Referral Resources. Click on that, and it goes to a page that there are, among other things, the 12 Sage and Scholars Guide. And the one that I would recommend is Dr. Jackie Black's The Sage and Scholars Guide to Group Coaching. That has all the forms. That has all the information you need. The entire presentation is on CD, but it's also transcribed so that it's in the workbook as well. So that's the best resource, because she has a whole conceptualization of groups, of forms, emails that you send out before the group, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So, Dr. Jackie Black?
Yes. The Sage and Scholars Guide to Coaching Groups. And you'll see the picture as one of the 12 Sage and Scholars Guide there. Just click directly on that, and it'll take you to the page to order it. And remember, we talked about the idea of a group is that your client is the group. You're going to facilitate the process of the group. It's much like working with a couple, that your client is the couple. Your client is the group, so you're going to facilitate that. The way that I have set up groups is to meet for the first 3 weeks and leave the fourth week open to do a standing time, same time each week, 75 minutes. It can work very well to have a fixed group. The 28-week protocol is one way of doing that. That can be about 7 months at 3 months, 3 weeks each month. Or you can go every week for 7 months. And to have a monthly retainer that someone pays online and it automatically rebills. If you decide for 9 months, say, you set it up where it charges for the first month before the group starts and then automatically rebills for 8 more times and then discontinues. So everything is focused on just being able to do the group and to focus on the group and not have to, set up billing and invoicing and all that kind of stuff. And neither you nor the client has to be preoccupied with that.
I have a question.
Yes.
For my group, since I feel like I teach very well through my body and coach people through exercise and fitness with this, so if I'm going to do like a 75-minute class for cancer recovery, how much would you recommend I fit into like a circle time or clock?
100%. A group is not a class. It's
okay,
not
that's
a seminar. It's not a workshop. If you truly want to do a coaching group, then you would pre-select the people who have a common issue, like you're dealing with cancer, and you send a series of emails that you'll see in Jackie's presentation to focus the group on working together, developing the group wisdom. You don't have 8 individual clients. You have 1 client, the group, and you're going to facilitate and foster the work of the group. And the group is going to work together. You're going to be the catalyst for the group working together.
Okay, so when I do the fitness one, that's just like an exercise program. That's totally different. That's like a fitness coaching. And then when I do the coaching through the wellness story, it's just by phone or in person. Yeah, okay.
Okay, was there a question in that?
I was confused on if I could intermix coaching with my exercise wellness classes, but it sounds like I should keep them separated.
Well, if I'm understanding, your wellness class is kind of open ended. People can come and go, and they may stay for a few weeks or not. Your group has a fixed number of people. The suggestion is that they come each time. It's confidential. People are not coming and going. And people are not, you're not talking about anything that goes on in the group. It's confidential, and it's treated just like you do an individual client, a commitment, and treated confidentially. And, everything that happens in the group is important, and the group is your client.
Well, I am having a specific a group for cancer recovery that is going to be limited to 10 people for 3 months. So I am doing a sign-up thing. So we're going to go from start to beginning.
That sounds good.
So can I do fitness and coaching together? Is what I'm asking.
Well, you can do whatever you decide to do. I think you need to decide what your objective is and what is the modality that's going to foster that. Is it that these individuals want to talk about dealing with issues having to do with cancer? Do they need a coaching group where they share very intimate and challenging things and get feedback from other people and develop resources on it? Or do they need to exercise? If they need to
they need both.
Yeah.
Okay, and so your decision is, do you make that two distinct entities, or do you try to mix it up? You know, my suggestion might be to do both maybe parallel, but, you know, I don't know. You'll have to see what works best for you. I don't know the answer. To see what you decide.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Well, I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about some things that, going forward, I'm going to send you a number of things, and these are most of them are going to be in an email, but I'm going to have send you a hard copy diploma or certificate. I will send you a template. There's going to be an email that will explain all of this, that will have the Mentor Path partner letter that will explain all the possibilities of what you might do and the material that you can use. I'm going to send another attachment. It's going to be the logo that you have. We'll have quarterly mentor groups. We had one today. I'll send announcements and a white paper. Now, beginning on the graduation, for the maintenance of the license fee, meaning that you'll have that you'll continue with your license to use the material, to co-brand the material. You'll be able to participate in the Mentor Path partner program, the affiliate program, where any number of products you get 40%. You'll be able, and I'll send you a link for the registry. And all this is spelled out in the email. I'm just going to kind of review it overall right now, where you can sign up in the registry for your name and coaching firm, contact information, specialty, picture, contact, everything there for individual and corporate referral. The quarterly mentor groups, like today, and I'll send a link of the recording of that if you're interested, and a white paper for each mentor group. You saw that the white paper today was conversational intelligence. And you'll continue to be on that registry of licensed and certified New Life Story coaches. And all of that is included in the license fee of $45 per quarter. And that's the fee for ongoing, like continuing education and all of the above services. I think you'll find an exponential benefit in terms of referral. And I'm also going to send you a press release sample, just as a reminder to think about sending a press release for your local publication or local business journal. And the Mentor Path partner letters will explain everything that I'm talking about, have the link for sign up for the registry, explain co-branding, the quarterly mentor groups. There's a URL page that you can use if you're interested. Just a whole number of things that are all included in that Mentor Path partner letters. So for right now, I know this is a lot and too much, but you'll see it all in the email that I send. So any questions right now, any clarifications of any of that right now?
I just have one question. It's about how the fees, if I do a workshop on coaching groups, how do I price this work? How much should I charge? What is the basis that you have there in the United States so I can have an idea for what I do here in Brazil?
Okay. When I have done a group, like a coaching group, meeting 75 minutes for three times a month, I've charged $195 for a monthly retainer. Now, I've done a mastermind group, which is only comprised of coaches who have done training with me, and that's a different kind of group. And I've charged $475 for that. That's 2.5 hours once a month, and the last 45 minutes is an expert content contributor, someone who's a bestseller or someone who's made significant contribution is a guest and I send that person's book, for example, to everybody in the group. So that's a different matter. But somewhere, you know, somewhere in that range, the 150 to 250 range per person, and it's very easy to do it when you have it as an online payment and a recurring fee.
What do you do on the fourth week? You said you do it three times a month. What's on the fourth?
That's a time off, and groups can you know kind of use that. Also, if there's a major holiday or something, you have that as a flexible time, so you still get in three times a month. Groups tend to work better doing that. Most people, a lot of people do that for individual. Now, my preference for individual is to work every week, but my preference for groups is to do the first 3 weeks a month, because that kind of time off lets people kind of reflect and do some work and do the exercises and kind of catch up and that sort of thing.
And also to do a workshop on mastermind group, is there a special training or the material that we have,
don't confuse the terms. Workshop and seminar and mastermind group and group coaching, those are all four distinct entities. So be very clear.
Okay.
Be very clear. The mastermind group, when I got ready to do the mastermind group, I did some specific training for that. It's a little bit different than anything else. Similar principles, but just structured a little bit differently.
Okay.
A workshop or a seminar, I mean, I would say, you know, attend one and get an idea of what you would like to do, and then do your version of it.
Okay. But you are going to have a group for mastermind this year?
Right now, I don't have one. I just ended one, and I will be starting one possibly in the fall, definitely by the beginning of next year. And it's by personal invitation, only of people who have done this training with me. So it's a dynamite group of people. We have a great deal of fun. I will definitely keep you in mind, both of you in mind, about that and see if it's of interest to you when I restart it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it.
Okay, super. Well, I want to move into our material, and are there any other questions, any other housekeeping questions or anything about what we've talked about so far, just briefly to clarify or to address before we move into our material? Okay, well, let's talk about wellness story. This is one of, well, I'll explain it. You'll see more in the MentorPath partner letters about the possibilities of what you can co-brand, what you can use. There's a separate workbook for Roadmap for a New Wellness Story. That's just the first three modules, which is the Roadmap system and the Wellness module, so it's just applied to that. There's also one just for Money Story, which is the first three modules, and Money Story. The MentorPath partner letter will explain all that. So,
okay.
In looking at your new wellness story, along with your money story, your wellness story may have the greatest impact on the quality of your life. Now, I thought it might be interesting for me to present the first part of the wellness CD series and teleseminar series that I do, and it's in the Roadmap for a New Wellness Story, but this is just the introduction. I put together some information from research in psychology, healthcare, neuroscience. Can I get some management of the background noise? That your microphone is picking up some noise in the background, and it's a little distracting. If you have background noise, would you mute, please? And then remember to come back on when you're ready to talk. Although we'll be discussing the application to wellness, you'll see the principles are fundamental to all growth, change, and success. First, a disclaimer, my mission, my hope, and my stretch goal. The disclaimer, I will not be offering advice about vitamins, supplements, how to exercise, or 1,700-calorie diets. My mission is much more fundamental, to change the way you think, specifically to be a catalyst for you to examine your wellness story, how you write it, and how you can write a new one, to guide you to create a new wellness story for yourself. My hope, to guide you to look around the corner at the next years and decades of your life. What you do today can affect the quality and the longevity of those tomorrows. My stretch goal, to have the time we spend together make a powerful and positive difference for you for the rest of your life. What I believe is this, that you don't need to be told again to exercise, to lose weight, or to stop smoking. And if a better diet were the answer, the 273rd new one in the last 6 months would have been enough. I want to guide you as you write your own wellness story. When you want to go someplace new, rather than give you directions, I'll teach you to read a map. I'll teach you the essentials to write and live a new wellness story, rather than tell you what you should do or ghostwrite it for you. It may be less immediately gratifying, but it's much more long-lasting and powerful. It will be your story. People are less likely to incorporate the stories of others into their own action agenda, even when they pay for them. Jeff Kindler, CEO of Pfizer, said, the percent of prescriptions that get filled is just under 50%. Then, when filled, the compliance is just less than 50%. In other words, when someone consults a specialist, is in pain and motivated to do that, and get the advice of a specialist in the form of a prescription, less than 1 in 4 follow through. It has to be your story. The light on the dashboard appears and says, service engine now. You can go under the dashboard, disconnect, so that it creates an artificial sense of satisfaction that nothing's needed. Another term, denial. But once you know something, you can never not know it again. Denial is a form of engagement, even though invisible above ground. Making a physical symptom go away does the same thing. The symptom is a signal, a story in itself, a story needing and begging to be listened to and understood. Your body will simply find another way to bring you more information. You have to have a new story to be inside before you can give up an old story. This guided journey addresses the roadmap, the acronym for the 7 steps, how to recognize, own, assess, decide what to change, map changes, author new experiences, and program new identity applied to your wellness story. Wellness is a mindset. This mindset gives ownership of a life story of wellness to the individual. With this ownership comes the responsibility and privilege that each thought, feeling, experience, and behavior is created each moment. Warren Buffett used the analogy of buying a car. To get a new car every few years, the approach would be different than if you knew you were going to choose one car and have it for the rest of your life. You'd probably do research to know the best care for that car, probably change the oil more frequently, do everything possible for maintenance. Knowing it would be the only car for the rest of your life, you take meticulous care of it. Your body is the only one you'll have for the rest of your life. Your body is irreplaceable. Everything about its care and maintenance matters. It reflects the cumulative care you take of it. Wellness integrates mind, body, and spirit with a balanced flow of energy. Notice the wellness system of energy in Module 10. It speaks to the impact of change in a different way. And keep in mind our discussion of the role of mind and brain in change. Wellness is an ongoing process of choices. It's never static. We never stay at the same place. So it must consistently be assessed. Wellness is not something that you begin to plan at age 65 or even at 50. Rather, every choice you make each day writes your wellness story. We're going to look at the process of change in an informed and a systematic way. your wellness success is the cumulative effort and result of daily choices that you don't rationalize away or justify into oblivion. For example, you take in 100 more calories each day than you burn. In 1 year, you gain 9 pounds. So I want to provide some context and stimulus for you to actively work on the exercises and quizzes in the workbook for each of these 7 steps for wellness to guide and apply to your wellness story. So let's look at a new wellness story. We're in a revolution in the science of wellness and of aging. We understand how our bodies work at the cellular level. We understand healthy aging. We can live healthier lives than anyone in all of biological time. This has taken a while because health is biologically more complex than disease. So I want to summarize some of the extensive research on wellness and the aging process. One is the concept of decay versus growth. The story that we engage with our bodies is one of two possibilities, decay or growth. Dr. Henry Lodge, Jr., who has written the perennial bestseller Younger Next Year and the companion book Younger Next Year for Women, has found, he's devoted 35 years of his professional life to wellness research. He's an internist in New York City. He finds that 70% of aging is not aging, but decay. If we assume that ailments and deterioration are a normal part of growing old, and that we diminish activity and deteriorate physically as well as in quality of life, the change on the cellular level will be decay. Inactivity and the absence of signals to grow result in body and brain decay. Now, here, another story is that both decay and functional aging are largely optional. The alternative story is growth. We send signals to our body of daily exercise, emotional meaning, good nutrition, and zest for living. Here's a quote from Henry Lodge in Younger Next Year. Steady exercise is a coded message to your body and your mind. In 20 years, failure to exercise 6 days a week will seem as self-destructive as smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. The new wellness story includes a central storyline of exercise. No negotiations, no excuses, serious exercise. According to Dr. Lodge, after age 50, 6 days a week for the rest of your life, mandatory. Lodge emphasizes that 4 of those 6 days of exercise need to be serious aerobic exercise. Biologically, your body only knows 2 things, growth or decay. Blood vessels go to every millimeter of your body and bathe cells in either repair or inflammation. Exercise heals wounded blood vessels, and it's wounded blood vessels that kill you. Mortality falls with exercise. Of several thousand people surveyed, 3 things stood out above all others as ones that prompted procrastination. More than anything else, people put off exercise, starting a healthier diet, evaluating their retirement plan. Short-term desires trump long-term goals. Emotions rule. On the other hand, work duties, projects, and assignments are responded to routinely and promptly. So this suggests that a task such as exercise be treated with the same mindset as work. With work, you don't get up each day and debate about whether you will or won't work, whether you will or won't go in, whether you'll take a couple of days off or just skip it. Work is there. You get up, you go to work, you don't debate it. You don't consider yourself virtuous if you do decide to go. In school, later in work, you show up. It's an organizing force, a deeply etched default mode. Exercise can be the same mindset. Now, for some, this is like a new job. It's a full commitment, a serious commitment. It requires a plan, just like your business. According to Lodge, daily exercise, like work, should be right up there, trumped only by serious illness or family needs, the default story. Now, as a mentor coach, you're not a personal trainer. You're not a dietitian. You're not giving directives. But you can make informed recommendations, and then you can listen to how your client takes information and makes choices to write the next chapter. And you're always free to challenge the choices or the trail of logic leading to them and their fulfillment. Now, two things above all others create neurogenesis. And this is something we've discussed before, but I really want to highlight that here. Enriched environment and exercise. An enriched environment of intellectual and emotional stimulation creates more complex brain structure. The hippocampus is part of the brain in the midbrain that's especially connected with two things, creativity and memory. Mice from an enriched environment have a 15% increase in the number of their hippocampal cells. Physical exercise increased the number of cells in the hippocampus by almost 100%. The part of the brain having to do with creativity and memory. In very recent time, those findings have been replicated in non-invasive studies in humans in London taxicab drivers and in University of Hamburg medical students. Another finding, chronic stress impairs neurogenesis. The number of cells goes the other direction, decreases with chronic stress. The power of story has another chapter created by studies of athletes taking human growth hormone and those taking a placebo. The group receiving the placebo believed that they were getting human growth hormone and improved at 4 fitness tests measuring strength, endurance, power, and sprint capacity. In this study in the Annals of Internal Medicine, there was a review of 44 studies that concluded that it was someone's belief and improvement in performance that really improved performance. The belief and the mind improved performance, not the medication itself or the lack of medication. And research suggests that up to 70% of non-surgical successful treatments are the result of the patient's belief that the treatment will work. So here are some assorted wellness variables. One is empathy heals. Patients whose doctors show concern recover from colds faster. This is from University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. Patients of doctors who had empathic concern recovered more quickly than those whose physicians focused only on facts. There was a direct relationship between the physician's empathy level and the patient's level of IL-8, a chemical that summons the immune system to fight toxins. Another, faith and spirituality heals. The capacity for faith, the belief in something larger than ourselves, can be wired into the brain in the right hemisphere. We crave a sense of coherence and purpose. Stress and heart disease can be allayed, reversed, by spiritual practices. Those who pray regularly had a lower blood pressure than those who do not, according to research at Duke University. Johns Hopkins researcher found that attending religious services cut the people's risk of death of both heart disease and cancer. Other researchers found that women to whom life's meaning and purpose is central had a higher number of cells that attack viruses and some kind of cancer cells. And finally, at Dartmouth, a predictor of survival in heart attack patients was their belief in prayer and faith and prayer. Now, psychology has traditionally studied disease, disorder, disruption. But more than 60% of adults feel that spirituality, in other words, more meaning rather than more money, would add value to their lives. Spirituality is the basic desire to find meaning and purpose in life. Organizations that have integrated spirituality in the workplace have found that it furthered their goals significantly rather than distracted from them. Left and right brain, reason and spirit, form a powerful combination. The merging of spirit and health is an integration of the whole person. Not until very more recent times have we studied self-psychology, positive psychology, the psychology of flow, and other enhancing aspects of the psychology of success. So let's look for a moment at the framing effect as it applies to wellness. The framing effect has significant implications in choice architecture and decision-making for wellness. A number of studies were done in which people were given free buckets of popcorn before seeing a movie, and then the results were tallied based on the post-movie weight of the remaining popcorn. Now, as it was set up, each person was given a container so big they couldn't have possibly finished it, but the results were stunning. People with the largest buckets ate 53% more popcorn than people with the next size, the medium-sized buckets. The results were essentially the same in a number of situations across the country. Same conclusion. People eat more when they're given bigger proportions or a bigger container. And the vast majority of people were not aware of eating more if they had a larger size bucket. They would respond with saying things like, well, no, I'm good at knowing when I'm full. And things like that don't trick me. In other words, when they were told the results, they denied that it applied to them. Now, this study shows that people don't need more knowledge or a healthier attitude about eating. Awareness of health hazards, eating so much, don't really apply since they denied eating more or less depending on the size of the container. Since their mindsets, knowledge, and belief patterns don't seem to make a difference, the simple solution, use smaller buckets. Think about this particular kind of unawareness combined with denial. Even when told the studies were set up that way, the participants didn't believe it because they believed they ate rationally. Now, the implications, I think, are pervasive. We eat based on an external point of reference, how much we're served. Someone else makes a decision about the quantity of food, and we essentially go along with it. Does the restaurant decide how much you eat by the serving portions? When you serve yourself, do you decide on more because you're hungry before you eat? Or just because you fill your plate as an automatic behavior pattern? The size of the container as well as the portion of the food both determine how much we eat rather than whether we're hungry or whether we make a judgment about what's in our best interest. For anyone to change, they have to start acting differently. So consider a related application. Can I get a management of the background noise, please? As if there's anything going on, if you would mute, please, just for this portion. I can put it on lecture mode, but I'd rather keep the line open if there are questions or comments. Thanks for doing that. So, a study by Robert Coghill demonstrated the right dose of expectations can reduce pain equivalent to a medically active dose of morphine. Expect pain to decrease, and it does. Expect pain to increase, and it does. When you travel, if you expect to be jet-lagged, this will impact your experience. If instead you pay attention to where you are and expect to be awake and fully functioning, this can have a significant impact on your biological clock and subsequent biological rhythms. The reference point is where you are rather than what time it is. The reference point of where you are and how you should feel in that context rather than how you should feel based on the old time or the old real time at home. So, don't keep a clock, as my grandmother did, on the real time. Nobody could fool Grandma Kruger. She had one clock, her cuckoo clock. And no matter what these newfangled ideas were about daylight saving, she had one clock that she always knew the real time. Nobody was going to fool her, whether the real time was daylight savings or the time zone you came from. Now, let's look at visualization of your healthy body. Have the right picture of yourself in your head. Visualization of the destination for your body and body image is at least as important as your other successes. Here are some consideration for visualization goals. Be certain it's your body, not someone else's. Have the right picture of yourself in your head in current time. In other words, not your younger self 25 years ago. Write down your ideal body weight range. Write down your plan for exercise, weight, nutrition. Write down your affirmations. And remember earlier when we talked that just over 95% of people who lose significant weight gain it back. The reason? They don't change their software. They don't program new identity, the final P in the roadmap. They don't revise their body image so that they go back to what they're familiar with. Now, let's look for a moment at states of mind and the effect of stress. Stress is the primary result of not regulating states of mind and managing emotions. Some examples. Stress contributes to 85% of all medical problems, the Cooper Wellness Program. 70 to 80% of physician visits are stress-related. U.S. Public Health Survey and the UN International Labor Organization study. 52% of executives will die of diseases related to stress, Cooper Wellness. Stress is the number one reason behind sickness from work, G Publishing Survey. And finally, stress undermines work productivity in 9 of 10 companies, Industrial Society Survey. So, there are certain states of mind patterns. Here's something you'll see in working with clients because it's human nature. And you may see this pattern more quickly in a wellness story. A new pattern of behavior is brought about for a period of time. Then it can be subjugated to other patterns, even a return to the comfort zone, a reversion to the familiar. So consider these kinds of patterns. An investor makes carefully planned trades to minimize risk and maximize reward, makes money consistently. As the gains accrue, the criteria is relaxed and the investor departs from the principles making unplanned trades. Losses result, then return to a pattern of success. Another example, someone who's overweight plans a weight loss program and achieves an ideal body weight, 30 pounds lighter. As soon as the target is reached, the nutritional plan is relaxed and weights gained back. Then the diet's reinstated. And finally, the independent business person carves out a set of hours each week to do marketing. This plan, meticulously adhered to, results in successful business. When it's relaxed and the marketing efforts lapse, business wanes. Then the marketing time is reinstated. In each of these situations, an individual has specific motivated attempts at adhering to self-control and a plan. Both can lapse as part of a cycle and then have to be reinstated. People behave in one way, in one mindset, and then in a different mindset when the context changes. Usually the prompt for the return to the original is the shock of recognition. The lapse occurs with relaxation back into a comfort zone. This is why evolving a new identity that incorporates the changes is so important. The mind software upgrade, in other words. Now, and think about it in this way. The patterns that quickly cycle come to attention and can be addressed more readily, usually. Some patterns have extremely long time cycles, and recognition occurs gradually. It takes so long for one pattern to play out that a lot of time is lost. An example would be the aging process and the recognition of the need for exercise and nutrition crystallized by an event such as a heart attack. Every afternoon when I go to LA Fitness to work out, I see some people who I know have been sent there by their doctors post-heart attack, and they're sort of into it for working out, but it's only by following doctor's orders. So those kind of patterns that take most of a lifetime to develop into a consequence are ones that are more difficult to address because you have to address what what can be and what the anticipation is. Now, another example here. Wellness patterns can be addressed in small ways during the day, in addition to things like exercise. For example, your brain can be measured to function differently depending on the music you listen to. Doctors Gordon Shaw and Francis Rosher showed that undergraduates who listened to 10 minutes of a Mozart sonata performed better on cognitive tests. The improvement lasted for 10 to 15 minutes. Getting centered and relaxed allows access to information stored in all of your states of mind. This is important, I think, especially when you're engaging in intellectual endeavors, in work and performance endeavors. So what you might do is to create a list to prompt wellness states of mind, maybe a 3-minute break to listen to music, to decrease stress or just relax. Make your first thoughts of the day positive and fulfilling. They set in motion the state of mind about how your day will transpire. Make your last thought at night before you go to sleep a positive, enhancing one. It sets in motion what your unconscious mind works on while you're asleep. A meditation period of 3 to 10 minutes a day can be powerful to get centered and determine your focus. Be aware of especially fertile times to plant seeds, such as the beginning and ending of the day. If you're positive, it will grow. If you're a collector of injustices, your collection will grow. The quickest signal of what you're thinking about is what you're feeling. Feelings let you know whether you're on track or not. So here are some final thoughts then on three things: storytelling, genes, and alchemy. Story is the most powerful way humans can communicate. It's been said that the secrets of great stories are the secrets of the mind, and that unlocking these secrets awakens the power of the mind and the power of story in you. Work with that power, James Bonnet tells us, and you can steal fire from the gods. A story can transcend language, time, and culture. Our brains are wired to both need and enjoy stories. And a story that has both an emotional and a cognitive component can be powerful for our beliefs and decisions. Stories motivate and persuade. They appeal to our emotional capacity for empathy. Remember from the beginning of our first session when I suggested, write this question down: what's my story? To think about your story, it makes you who you are. Summarize your plot in one sentence. Bullet your major storylines. This is not your bio, your title, your role. It's your story. At this point, review your answers. See what you'd revise after just 12 weeks. And now add this question for an appointment specifically for your brainstorming. What is my wellness story? Melanie Green, professor at UNC Chapel Hill, found that people who perform better on tests of empathy become more easily transported by a story. This empathic ability to put ourselves in another person's shoes means that we can distinguish intent, motivation, awareness, and mental states of others. Children develop mentalization, the theory of mind, and the ability to think about thoughts around age 5. Once we develop a theory of mind, we can imagine minds in others and make stories of things. This means that we attribute intentions and motivations to people and to things in the world around us. Stories are a vivid tool for learning as well as developing relationships. We keep tabs on people, understand, spread information by storytelling. A story makes a comprehensive and complete narrative for both mind and brain. The desire to create a completeness and closure by both mind and brain is embraced in a story. We practice social skills and promote social cohesion by story. A study by Jonathan Gottschall at Washington and Jefferson College found that stories of people around the world possess universal themes that reflect common underlying biology. The power of story is emphasized by the finding that people more readily accept ideas when their minds are in a story mode versus an analytical mindset. Now, we've talked about the wellness story from perspectives of cells, mind, brain, and story. Now, a final word about genes. Epigenetics is the study of the ways in which our experiences change the way genes operate. Our experiences program how active our genes will be. Now, there's a difference between having a gene and that gene expressing its signature proteins to have a particular effect. We have more than 30,000 genes. Some of them express themselves constantly, some only at a particular time in life, some only for a certain organ of the body, some only at certain biological or behavioral or emotional prompts. We now know that our genes and our environment, including our behavior, are reliant on one another. What we do as well as what we eat will turn genes on or turn them off. Genes cannot operate independently of their environment, internal and external. Our nutrition, our emotions, and our social interactions all contribute to turn genes on and off. A simple example, when you eat broccoli, broccoli contains a form of B6 which prompts a specific enzyme to produce the amino acid L-tryptophan, which contributes to synthesize dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that, among other things, stabilizes mood. So too can current meaningful interactions, small, caring, nurturing acts, have a powerful and lasting impact, even in adulthood. As alchemists, we help people see possibility to engage a transformative process. True autonomy is not to have to depend on anyone else, the government, children, family members, the best preparation for older years, savings plus wellness. The most common concerns about the future that I hear have to do with health and money. Of all the meanings and dynamics that any person may attribute to money, the one common issue among all people in economic groups, money means having choices. Probably the most common way we're short-sighted in our decision-making is that we choose a small amount of something right now rather than a large amount in the future. You are only one choice away to change your life. So, a word about your true story. The residual outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, and actions are not who you are. What you've done with your body and eating may not be your true body self. Who you are is what you're creating this moment. You can begin to align your relationship with everything from memory to yourself by authentic conversation internally and externally. Wealth, happiness, joy, scarcity, fear, worry, they're all mindsets. Write your genuine life story. Your informed wellness story. Write the truest story possible. And then a final story to close. A small boy walked up to Walt Disney and asked him how he could be like him someday when he grew up. Disney took this very seriously, and he thought about it for a moment, and he held up a finger indicating to the boy that he's thinking about it. And then finally, Disney said four words. Think, believe, dream, dare. So, thoughts or comments that any of you have, or anything you'd like to discuss more about any of the aspect of the wellness? We still have a few minutes. How does this sound to you?
A lot of information. It sounds good.
When you do the
group, so when you're leading someone through the group and you purchase your booklet and you have it co-branded, can you explain, like, so as the teacher or the coach, are you talking to the white part and then they have the gray part on the book and they're, can you explain a little bit about that, how that works?
No, you have not received the workbook itself, have you?
No.
Okay, I'll ask my fulfillment house to send it to you. Okay, there's the New Life Story Client Workbook. It's all 10 modules, but it is only the part that's in gray in your curriculum. Okay, so it's just the introduction, the exercises, work tools, the addendum and all that, and the additional resources, they're all there. But it's just the exercises and work tools and an explanation and annotation, just the part that's in gray. So this is the have you taken a look at the 28-week protocol yet?
I don't know. If I thought I printed it, but I maybe
it,
I
would be
maybe
something
I don't
you,
have
you downloaded from the page that where you have the playback. Anyhow, so all right, here's one way to think about it. You put together your group. You're doing a wellness group. And what we've arranged, what you've arranged with me is to have your name on the cover of the workbook presented by and your name and if you want your coaching firm, and then a new first page that is your message to clients, your contact information, telephone, email, whatever. And I've had my graphics person redesign the cover and the first page and put the entire workbook on PDF, so that I give you the link to purchase a copy of the workbook, the New Life Story workbook. As soon as your client signs up to be in your group, you purchase that at your rebate, and you send that link to the client to download, and you charge the client retail. So you've made almost double already on the workbook. But what it means is that as soon as the client signs up for your group, they immediately have that workbook in hand. They printed it out. So you don't have to go through all the machinations of shipping and all that kind of stuff. They've got it immediately. So then when you start the group, if you decide to do that 28-week protocol, for each of 28 weeks, there's a pre-designed portion of the workbook, certain exercises and work tools designed to be worked on each week so that when you meet, the group has already done the exercises and work tools. They've done their own individual work. Catalyst for that. And then when you meet with a group, the first thing you do is to look at from each of them a check-in, an update, and they're reporting on what they've committed, what they committed to at the end of last week. And then you determine what they would like to focus on. Usually it will parallel what the exercises are, but they determine the focus. Think about the parallel here with everything you know about individual coaching. You meet with a client, you ask what they'd like to focus on and where they'd like to get to. Same with a group. You want to know what they'd like to focus on, the work they'd like to do collectively. Then toward the end of the group, you'll want to save several minutes. I do two things at the end of a group. Ask each person to very briefly and succinctly in one sentence say what they found most valuable in the group today, their takeaway that's most valuable to them. And then to make a commitment out loud to themselves for the group to hear what they commit to do before next meeting. And I write down those two or three things they commit. And then next group, that's where we start. People reporting of what they've done in terms of their commitment. So there's a continuity, a consistency. The group is an accountability partner. And then the group collectively decides what to focus on, develops group wisdom, gives feedback, support, all kinds of things, sharing success stories. So it's a very powerful experience, and I think something that you and they will enjoy doing tremendously. You'll end the group with more energy than you began with, and I think they will too.
So they don't see the 28 course as a separate thing for the teacher, for me.
No, they have that outline, so they know each week. That's their syllabus. They know what exercises you've recommended that they do. So they have the workbook, and then you give them the 28-week protocol if you decide to do that.
Does that make sense? Starting to make better sense. So the 28-week is a protocol. Is that a general protocol for each of the wellness story?
It's an assignment from the workbook of what to do each week.
And that assignment will come in the book that we purchase for ourselves and for the
The workbook
will be
the workbook. The protocol is the assignment of what exercises to do in that workbook each week. Does that make sense?
So the protocol, we buy the protocol with the book?
Let me try to say it differently. You know,
I just found mine here.
When you do a course and you have a syllabus, and that syllabus says the assignments for each week. The 28-week protocol is the syllabus. It says the assignments each week, and every member has a copy of that, and they look to there and see what assignments they go to the workbook and do each week, and then they meet and talk about it.
So I link them that. I link them that PDF that I'll get from you in the 28.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Start over. What's your question?
I don't have the 28-week thing, so I'm confused. That's why I haven't seen it. That's what I guess.
You haven't seen what?
The 28-week protocol.
Okay. Go to that page. If you don't see the download, send me an email, and I'll look it up and send it to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, it should be easy to find there. If it's not, if for some reason CTA has deleted it, I'll send that directly to you. And remember, there especially those you starting up your practices, don't hesitate to get just a session or a few sessions or a month or two of mentor coaching. It can make significant difference in jump starting your practice. It can be an exponential return of your investment.
Right.
So don't hesitate. And I keep a priority of time and my lowest fee for people I've trained. So I'll always create a time if you want to do mentor coaching. Other thoughts or questions? Let's take an extra minute. Anything else? One thing I want to do is an epilogue, and if you'll grant me maybe a minute to a minute and a half, I'd like to do this as an ending. This is our epilogue. What if all you did in this course was master effectiveness to make changes? What if all you did was to put yourself in a state that you're better at engaging people? What if all you did in this course was to learn more about your own story? Or what if all you did was to learn about the potential of pleasure and avoiding pain? What if all you did was to learn to help someone be more authentic, to change beliefs into behaviors that last? What if all you did was to learn to manage a state? What if all you did was to learn to recognize belief systems or to explore your own mind? Or to develop a greater, more informed sense of caring? What if you decide to seize your professional story and develop a practice and presence of massive impact and success? To sensitize yourself to the gifts and skills you already have, the power of influence to increase the quality of your life. To recognize that these skills can make a difference for you for the rest of your life and for others who you will impact in your lifetime. to know that your ideas will not die with you or be limited to your direct contact, that you will leave your mark, your legacy, and to acknowledge that each new decision may affect the quality of your life. If you get any of these things, and if you commit to a level of excellence to increase the quality of your life, your practice, your clients, then for me, this training has been a tremendous success. And for you, I hope this is the beginning of new possibility. You have each shared my passion to help extraordinary people make enduring contributions. I feel really privileged to have spent this time with you. I hope you'll let me know in a bit how it's affected you. I thank you for the honor of learning with you, and I hope I've lived into my mission to inspire and guide you to achieve your unique, most empowered life and professional stories. Thank you.
You sure did. Thank you.
My privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate all of your energy and contribution.
We'll be in touch.
Let me know if I can be of help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your support.
Bye now. See you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye, Emily.
Bye.